Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell. After I give everything I've got to land a perfect vocal, I usually take five before jumping into the next track. And I've learned exactly how to recharge in that time. Some folks grab coffee. I hit a quick good luck spin. Next thing you know, the break is just as fun as laying down the track. A better break makes for a better take. Need a break? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNC supply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Real ghost stories from real people. This is Into the Paranormal with Tony Bruschi.
There's a strange comfort in believing the world works the way we expect it to. A house is just a house. A car stays parked where you leave it. And when you see something with your own eyes, you trust it's real. But what happens when the simple, expected rhythms of life slip just a little? When you see something move that shouldn't? Hear a voice that can't possibly be there? The story we're about to hear comes from a listener who never believed in ghosts. Raised with a strong faith, they were certain the world was built on firm, logical ground. That is, until the ground beneath their own home shifted. And something stirred from within the walls. This is not a story of loud hauntings, flashing lights, or poltergeist-like chaos. It's quieter than that. More deliberate, as though the house itself was breathing right alongside them. A voice that saves a life. A car that moves on its own. And a window where someone, or something, always seemed to be watching. Let's get to the letter. They write, "Dear Tony, I've never believed in ghosts, not really. I was raised in a strict Christian household, and my faith has always been my foundation. But faith is an interesting thing. It gives you answers until you run into something that doesn't fit, something that lingers at the edges of reason, just out of reach. I don't claim to know what I experienced. I have theories, of course, but I've long stopped expecting people to believe me. All I can do is tell you what happened as truthfully as I remember. It started when I was a teenager living in a small two-story house in the countryside. Our home wasn't old or particularly eerie. It was simple. Red brick, a sloping gravel driveway, and a large bay window that faced the front yard. I had a younger brother, Liam, and my parents were deeply involved in the church. The house itself was quiet. Not in a peaceful way, but in a way that felt oddly unnatural, as if the walls were listening. I never thought much of it at first, until the day something, or someone, saved my life. It was early morning, just like any other school day. I was walking alone, headphones in, music turned up just enough to drown out the world. The air was crisp, the road ahead empty. I barely registered the moment I stepped off the curb, but just as my foot hit the pavement, I heard it. Clear as day. My mother's voice, not a whisper, not a distant call. A sharp, desperate shout, my name followed by a single word. Stop! It was enough to snap me out of my thoughts. I stopped, froze in place, and a second later, a car came speeding past so close that the rush of wind knocked me back a step. My breath caught in my throat. I turned instantly, expecting to see my mother standing behind me. But the street was empty. No one was there. The voice had come from behind me. I felt it as if she had been right there, but she wasn't. I ran home, shaken. When I asked my mother about it, she looked at me strangely and said she had been home the entire time. She had never left the house that morning. She smiled and told me it must have been an angel. God has his ways, she said. I wanted to believe that. I really did. But the voice, it wasn't a feeling or a whisper in my head. It was her voice, her exact tone, her exact pitch, filled with urgency and fear. I let it go. It wasn't something I could explain, but I was grateful for it. If it hadn't happened, I wouldn't be writing this letter. Still, the unease lingered. And then came the car. It was a Saturday morning, a few months later. Liam and I were downstairs watching cartoons, the house still quiet with our parents sleeping upstairs. Through the bay window, I saw our car rolling slowly down the driveway. I sat up. "Did Mom go somewhere?" I asked Liam. He shrugged, eyes fixed on the screen. "Maybe." But something felt off. We both watched as the car came to a stop, but no one got out. Minutes passed. "Shouldn't she be coming inside?" Liam mumbled, now just as confused as I was. We went to the window, peering outside. The car was empty. The driver's seat was vacant. The whole car sitting there still as stone. My chest tightened. "She's not in there." Liam gave me a wary look, but followed as I stepped outside. The air was still. The gravel beneath our feet crunched with every slow step toward the car. When Liam reached for the handle, it didn't budge. The doors were locked. I turned and ran back inside, straight to the kitchen, where my mother always left the car keys in a small wooden bowl by the door. They were there, right where she had left them. I don't remember running back upstairs, but I remember my mother's drowsy, irritated face when I woke her up. My father grumbled as I tried to explain what we saw. Neither of them believed us. "We must have imagined it," my mother said, rubbing her eyes. "Maybe you were dreaming." But we weren't. I know what I saw. Liam knows what he saw. And the one thing that haunts me most? I never heard the engine. The car moved, but it made no sound. It was as if it had drifted down the driveway, silent as a shadow. Even then, I tried to brush it off. Maybe there was an explanation I hadn't considered, but deep down, I knew better, because that was only the beginning. After the car incident, something changed inside the house. It wasn't obvious at first. There were no loud crashes, no flickering lights or slamming doors. It was quieter than that, quieter and somehow worse. So the house seemed to watch. I'd catch myself glancing toward the bay window, only to see my own reflection staring back. But every now and then, just for a split second, I could swear there was something else in the glass. Something standing behind me. It became harder to sleep. The house would settle at night in ways it never had before. Faint footsteps on the stairs when no one was up. A soft creak just outside my door. Liam heard it too, though he pretended not to. He was younger than me, and I think he was afraid if we talked about it, we'd make it real. One night, I woke to the sound of gravel shifting outside. I crept to the window, my heart pounding in my ears. The driveway was empty, but I could still hear the soft crunch of footsteps as coming closer. I told myself it was just the wind, though no breeze stirred the trees. Still, I crawled back into bed and shut my eyes tight, willing sleep to come. It didn't. The next morning, the car was at the bottom of the driveway again. This time, my father was the one who found it. The keys were still in the bowl. The doors were locked. There were fresh tracks in the gravel, not tire tracks, but footprints leading up to the driver's side door. No one said much at breakfast. My parents were tense, exchanging quiet looks when they thought Liam and I weren't watching. Later that day, I went up to the attic for the first time since we'd moved in. I don't know why, I just felt pulled there, like I was meant to find something. I found it almost immediately, tucked behind an old beam near the window. It was a letter yellowed with age, the ink smudged in places. It was dated 1954, written by a woman who had lived in the house long before us. She wrote about the footsteps, the whispers, the sense of being watched, and the car. She said the car would move on its own, always ending up at the bottom of the driveway, as if something was trying to leave or arrive. Her final words were scrawled in a frantic, uneven hand. "If you see the car move, it's already too late." That night, I dreamt of the bay window. In the dream, I stood in the living room, staring at my reflection, except it wasn't mine. It was someone else standing there, someone with dark, hollow eyes and a mouth that opened far too wide. I woke up gasping for air. Then I heard the engine. For the first time, the car wasn't silent. Its engine rumbled low outside my window, the headlights spilling across the gravel like two wide, unblinking eyes. I froze, too afraid to look. My father woke up to the sound too, stumbling outside in his robe to check. The car was empty, as always, but the driver's seat was ice cold, as though someone had been sitting there for hours. We sold the car the next week. The new owner brought it back after just a few days, saying the locks wouldn't work and the engine would turn itself on in the middle of the night. We left the house not long after that. Years have passed since then, but Liam still refuses to talk about any of it. He shuts down if I even mention the house or the car. I've told friends, co-workers, even a paranormal investigator once. No one believes me. And honestly, I can't blame them. But here's the part that still keeps me awake at night, even now. I don't think it was the house that was haunted. I think it was the car, or maybe it was both, tied together somehow, like a loop playing over and over, waiting for someone to notice. I don't expect you to have answers, Tony. I'm not even sure why I'm writing this. Maybe just to know someone else has heard the story. But there's one thing I know for certain. If you ever see your car move when no one's inside, don't follow it. Just let it go. Sincerely, Sarah. Stories like Sarah's have a way of getting under your skin. Not because of the obvious scares, there's no levitating furniture, no demonic growling from the walls, but because of the quiet, methodical way the strange events unfolded. It's easy to dismiss one odd occurrence, a trick of the eye, a lapse in memory, a dream that lingered into waking life. But when these moments stack up, when two people see the same impossible thing, when objects move on their own, when the air itself seems to watch you, you have to ask yourself, at what point does coincidence cross the line into something else? From a psychological perspective, there's a case to be made for shared delusions between siblings, especially in high-stress environments. Children and teenagers, particularly those raised with strong religious beliefs, can sometimes process fear, guilt, or even ordinary anxieties through the lens of the supernatural. Maybe the house was just old and creaky, and the car's mechanical quirks got exaggerated in their memory. That's a comforting explanation, if you need one. But there's a problem with that theory. The footprints in the gravel, the locked car with the keys still inside, the returning buyer who had no connection to Sarah's family but experienced the same phenomenon, that's harder to write off as imagination. There's also the question of attachment. Paranormal researchers talk about certain objects holding energy, echoes of trauma, or events so emotionally charged they imprint onto the physical world. And we usually think of this with things like dolls, mirrors, even jewelry. But why not a car? After all, cars witness their fair share of tragedy, accidents, deaths, desperate escapes. What stands out most to me is Sarah's instinctive belief that the house and the car were connected, as though whatever haunted them didn't belong to just one or the other. Maybe it wasn't the car that was haunted. Maybe the driveway itself carried a scar, like a piece of ground caught in a loop, playing the same moments again and again, dragging anything nearby into the cycle. Whatever the truth is, Sarah's story leaves us with one chilling reminder. Sometimes the things we trust the most, the places that should be safe, the objects we use every day, can turn against us. And when they do, we're left wondering, are they moving on their own? Or is something moving through them? Until next time, I'm Tony Bruschi, and I'll be keeping a close eye on my own driveway tonight.
Want more real ghost stories from real people? Then press subscribe now. We're dropping new ghost stories every single day. This is Into the Paranormal with Tony Bruschi.
Lots of places can expose you to identity theft. That's why LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity, which is way more than anyone can do on their own. If we find anything suspicious, like new loans or changes to your financial accounts, we alert you right away, all through text, phone, email, or the LifeLock app. Save up to 40% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Lots of places can expose you to identity theft. That's why LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity, which is way more than anyone can do on their own. If we find anything suspicious, like new loans or changes to your financial accounts, we alert you right away, all through text, phone, email, or the LifeLock app. Save up to 40% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Lots of places can accidentally expose you to identity theft. Doctor's offices, online retailers, insurance companies, the list goes on. Thankfully, LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity, which is way more than anyone can do on their own. LifeLock keeps an eye on your personal information, credit applications, finances, and more. And if they find anything suspicious, like new loans or changes to your financial accounts, they alert you right away. All through text, phone, email, or the LifeLock app. Even better, alerts are automatically activated the moment you become a LifeLock member. No extra work on your part. Get the alerts that could make all the difference. Don't wait. Join LifeLock now. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart and save up to 40% your first year. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
Your energy is dipping, and that clock has barely moved since your 1 o'clock meeting. We don't love that for you. Get your afternoon pick-me-up with a refreshing large Big Gulp drink at 7-Eleven. Cold, refreshing, and made the way you like it. It's available at 7-Eleven and just 59 cents with 7 rewards. Visit your local Columbus 7-Eleven and satisfy that craving today. Valid through 6/23/26. While supplies last, participating stores see app for full terms.